flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
12:03, back on the fan, BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. King topic of the day. Well, like my partner likes to call him, King Cohen. I won't call him that, but I will give him the reference out of respect. Is Blank Cohen about to reel in his boy Pete? I mean, it looks like that's what's going to happen. Obviously, you know about the Boomer tweet by now, and there's a lot of signs that even all the piped-in baseball reporters, everyone's like, it seems imminent. It's just basically a done deal, you know, barring something completely unexpected. Pete Alonso will be back with the Mets. And I think that's the best thing for the Mets. Now, if there was another player out there that was younger, maybe that was a lefty, maybe that was a little bit more of a diverse skill set available today, that's different. There's not. I mean, Vlad could be available, and Walker and some others that they deemed not, they weren't interested in, were available. But, like, the Mets just couldn't enter. And they couldn't enter 2025 with, you know, all right, we got Soto, we got Manaea, that's it. That's going to roll it back. No. No, you can't do that. So, you know, that certainly would be good, and it would be fun. But I also think, and this is what strikes me, and I understand it, but your defense mechanism has been up so, so much from a Met perspective. It has shifted from the early conversations, and this goes back to me and Tiki. I remember having a conversation with Tiki like, hey, you know what? And I brought it up. I said, hey, Tiki, you know, the Mets, what they should do, this is years ago, they should preemptively offer Pete a nice deal. And I forget what the terms of the money of the, you know, it was a couple of years ago. So obviously the money's changed. And the business of baseball has since changed. I mean, Bregman's still on the street for crying out loud. My God, a World Series hero, Gold Glove third baseman who's still only 30. So it's different. But I remember telling Teek, like, that what the Mets should do is avoid what the Yankees are going through at that point with Aaron Judge. So don't get to the same point in the road and present them a good offer, you know, commensurate with his numbers so far, his projected numbers the rest of the way, his place within the Mets universe, homegrown Met, his state within the game. And obviously a couple of years ago, it was more appealing than it is now. You know, he's had a couple of years where some stats have dropped, as we know, and he's a little bit older now. But, and the first base market's different, they didn't do it. All right, that's fine. And all of you were like, yeah, you know, he's our Judge. Nobody resisted that. Some of you even took it to a point where you're like, he is Judge. I'm like, all right, I mean, this is just sheer lunacy. He's not Aaron Judge, and he's never going to be Aaron Judge, and he's never going to get what Aaron Judge eventually gets, and he's not. But back then, you were all gung-ho about Pete staying. And then Pete had a down year with the batting average. And still, understandably, because this was kind of my position as well, in 2023, the down year with the average, you were still all, you know, maybe a few of you dropped off like, well, maybe it's not quite as worth as much as we thought, but they'll figure it out. And then last year, the home runs and the RBIs dropped. And many of you kind of went to the other side of the room. And you still love Pete, but now that protective mechanism was, I think, you always still wanted Pete, but you were starting to rationalize with a slippage in performance that it was okay for Pete to go elsewhere when you didn't really want him to. And now we're at a point where he doesn't have to. So whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday when we're on the air, whatever, it seems like this thing will be punched in. It's not going to be for an exorbitant amount of money. It's not going to be for crazy years, but the Mets will secure the best protection for Juan Soto. And to enter 2025 without real protection for Juan Soto would have been a disaster. And then you throw in the fact that it's Pete, it would have been a PR disaster too. So it looks like that's going to be avoided, and that will be awesome. Let me get Dale in Rockville Center, BT and Sound on the Fan. Dale, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Big fan of yours.
Thank you, Dale. What's up?
A couple quick questions on the Mets and then one on the Giants, so I won't drag you on too long. But is there any aside from the Heyman and Boomer, I saw something tweet about Alonso. Is there any hard indicators that Alonso is going to come back, or is this just speculation?
No, I mean, I would term it as informed speculation. I mean, look, think about this, guys. Nobody, except maybe Tiki, but I don't even think Tiki, nobody's more connected than Boomer. Like, Boomer knows everybody. And Boomer is not a troll, and of course neither is Tiki. But do you think that Boomer's going to tweet that unless somebody, come on. You know what I'm saying? Just use common sense.
He's a good barometer, absolutely. And the second question was, are you so hard on this? Are you using your Yankee fan jinx to debunk Pete from coming to the Mets? I'm trying to figure out why you're so on board with this, if it's a Yankee fan jinx.
I mean, Dale, what am I?
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
I mean, come on. Yeah, I mean, really. I want Pete to come back to the Mets because I want to watch good baseball, dude. And obviously, like, if Pete went to Toronto, of course I'm still watching the Mets. Number one, it's my job. And, yeah, it sucks that Soto's in Queens and not in the Bronx. I get it, but I'm not going to keep regurgitating that. You guys beat the Yankees in the boardroom, so to speak. Negotiate. You won. Mets won. Yankees zip. Soto negotiations. Bang. The scoreboard will always reflect favorably on the Mets in that regard. Can I tell you something else, too? Listen, Mike, and if you, I think most of you know where I come from at this point. There's still some trolls and haters out there, and that's just the way it is when you do what I do for a living. I am just going to come as clean from my heart as I possibly can. And I gave you a little snippet of the story a week or so ago with Sal. Because Sal's not into the emotion and the sentiment. He just, you know, he wants Vlad. And by the way, I think Vlad's better than Pete. But I don't think Vlad's getting dealt in the next couple of weeks. And I don't think you can enter the season without protection behind Soto. But anyway, the point is, I've always been more of a fan in terms of, like, that emotional stuff. Now, when you become a dad for the first time, and I happen to have a son before I had a daughter. I've got two. 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. Boy's 10, daughter's 8. And I couldn't wait for the first thing that Santa brought that was a sports thing, whatever that was going to be. And, of course, Santa and the elves would have to figure that out. Gave him a little direction. And the first thing that ever came was a Kristaps Porzingis fathead. And not the little teeny tiny one, the one that takes up basically the entire wall. And Santa and the elves were kind enough to display it like it was when we came down on Christmas morning. It was actually, it wasn't like rolled up, it was hanging so you can see it, right? And he was 3, and because he could speak not incredibly well at the age of 3, but he could obviously KP was, it's more, you know, letters, KP Knicks, let's go KP. Loved him. Didn't really know anything about baseball, but that was his guy. When Kristaps Porzingis was traded, and my wife would say to me, she's like, you got to take it down. I'm like, I can't. I can't take it down yet. I know that this sounds insane. I'm talking to you from a dad to many other dads, you know? I could not bring myself to peel that thing down off the wall. And not because I didn't want it to, the paint to come up. Not because I had to replace it with something else. All right, it's a little barren now. What do we do now, honey? What are you going to put there? No, it's because of the symbolism of the first New York athlete, even before Judge. Because he was born in January. Yeah, I mean, not that he remembered KP at 3 months, but Daddy was watching him, and he was on my lap. That was our first real connection. And when I eventually got, I took it down like a year and a half after he was traded. I had to take it down. And it hurt. Now, I'm not saying I was sitting there crying, but I was definitely saddened doing that. And I understand that many of you will have to do the same thing if Pete winds up elsewhere. And I don't want you to have to do that. I don't. Because Pete's done more for the Mets than Porzingis did for the Knicks. And I know how hard it was for me because of the bond, the first bond, the relationship, the first time you took him to Citi Field, or her, to Citi Field. Guaranteed the little guy or girl was wearing an Alonzo jersey. Or maybe a throwback, you know, Piazza, whatever, but David Wright. But if it was a current Met, it was Pete. Or maybe DeGrom, too. But probably Pete. And that's not fun. Now, sometimes, you know, you got to push away fun and you got to deal with the reality of it. But there is no circumstance that should have ever prevented Pete Alonzo on a deal that makes sense for the Mets, on a deal that Pete's not embarrassed. All right, let me tuck my tail between the legs and come back begging. You know, put him behind Soto, get it done, kick it down the road for 2 years, 3 years, opt out after one, whatever they eventually decide on. But you should not have to take down the Pete Alonzo fathead when he's 30 and healthy. That's why I tell you that story. So I know the last caller was kidding, but No. Like, we could have a little fun with this whole Yankee Met thing. There's nothing more important to me than that parental bond, that sports bond. And I know what Pete means to so many of you. I hope he stays, man. Let me get Adolfo up in the Bronx. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
All right.
Listen, I don't understand, you know, this Met fans, some of them. You know, you take Pete, and with that lineup, it's a mediocre lineup. We need Pete.
Yeah.
We need him. You know?
Yeah.
Listen, Cone, this guy, David Stern, I don't like him. I really don't trust this guy. Look, he signed mediocre players. You know, minorly. Look, Iglesias is still free. He's still up there. Mm. He signed Young from Chicago Cubs. I mean, this guy, he thinks he got the magic wand from last year that he thinks we're going to have a great year like last year.
Adolfo, let me ask you a question. Hold on, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, right.
So how many seasons has David Stearns been here? Like for actual baseball seasons?
Okay, this is going to be
Can you just answer? Just how many?
1 year.
Okay.
A full year.
Okay, one full year, right? The Mets almost got to the World Series, even though the Dodgers were a million times better. They actually won a couple games. Like, they almost got to the World Series. And this is what you're calling up saying about David Stearns? You don't trust him? What is wrong with some of these? Come on, man. Joe Beningo was saying the same thing. What is wrong with some of you?
Okay. All right. Listen. All right. We paid this guy almost $800 million.
Yeah.
He's a butcher in the outfield.
Oh, I know. Well, he's not a butcher.
He's a butcher.
That's not true.
You're going to see a lot of Mets fans calling and complaining about Soto.
I know. He's not a butcher.
He's a hitter. Oh, yes. And then let me ask you something. Vladimir Guerrero, he's not a $500 million player.
Who, Vladdy?
He's looking for $500, $600. He's not.
Hey, yeah, but okay? Adolfo, I gotta let you in. Thanks for the call. I got to break some news to you. Whatever you get, you're worth. No. I agree with this. Like, independent of the other teams bidding and his age and his place in baseball history, Juan Soto is not worth $800 million? I don't think so. But the Mets deemed him worthy of that. And basically the Yankees did as well. And some other teams were there too. So if Toronto offers him, let's say, 470, and the Mets come at 510, if Vladdy makes it to free agency, guess what? He's worth 510. That's just the way the game goes. Chris is in Rochester. What's happening, Chris? Chris, what's going on, man? You good? All right, Chris is not ready to rock and roll. How about Chris on Long Island? Chris, what's cooking?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Chris, what's up?
What's up, guys? Thanks for letting me in. I just wanted to call and talk about the difference between, I believe, being a wild card team and easily division title favorite. I think if Alonso and the Mets can agree that, and they can go out there and get one of the Padres' aces, that the Mets are specifically the second best team in the sport by a lot. And I think the difference is that specifically they can also add Iglesias to the mix. And I wouldn't hesitate to throw out one of the younger prospects, not a pitching prospect, but one of the top 100 prospects just in for a year of Cesar King. I think they should jump on it. And this is a chance to go all in. And I fully believe that Stearns is capable of making a trade like that. And yep. I think Alonso is, there is no other option. I mean, I'd love Vlad next year, obviously. I think any Mets fan would. But also $500 million to a first baseman when you also just signed, in my opinion, the best player in the sport besides Ohtani.
Best player. Judge is better than so. He's not even the best right fielder in New York, Soto.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's 25. That will change quickly. But right now, I do agree that Judge is better. But
I got you.
I think in a few years, you also have to look at Soto potentially playing first base. Yep. So that's why I'd be hesitant on giving Vlad. Obviously, Vlad is the best and whatever. But I just think right now the difference between being the NL East favorite and being a fringe wild card team like the Mets or Diamondbacks right now is relying on Alonso coming back, and obviously Stearns played the waiting game, and other guys like Naylor could have been traded for.
You're missing something, Chris, here. Thanks for the call. I think that Stearns and Cohen, I think they could ultimately be rewarded for their patience. They played this well. I mean, they've been sitting in the casino with a couple of cards saying, we're good. All right, we'll play all night here. We're good. We know what we're doing. We're fine. When are we flopping? What's happening? Show me something. Like, they're going to get Pete. Think about this, guys. 5 days. Well, forget.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About 5 days ago. Yeah, well, I'll say 5 days. Go back to last weekend. So 7, basically. A weekend. Or a week. The thought was, God, it's amazing day. No Pete. You know, some booze out there. Think about that. And I know it wasn't the majority of people. It was more a vocal minority. But still, there were booze. And, you know, Cohen said what he said. And I applauded him for it. It was very transparent. I thought it was very good. It was a good message to Boris as well. And Pete. But think about what you thought and what you felt then, and think about how you feel now. So then you probably said, all right, ship has officially sailed on Pete. You weren't even thinking about Dylan Cease. Now today, I'm sitting here saying, they're going to get Pete and Dylan Cease. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I would be, at this point, I'd be stunned if they don't get Alonso. And I'd be very surprised if they don't get Cease or King. And the other stuff, and if you do, now it's go time. Yeah, you're not better than the Dodgers on paper, but nobody is. So don't worry about that. See, I don't get too wrapped up in, not that I never reference it, but I'm not overly worked up about, second best team division. And again, I have referenced it, so I'm not trying to double talk here. I do reference it, but big picture here. Second best team in the division, fourth best team in the NL, whatever. Are you a team that I deem playoff worthy? Right now, I look at the Mets, and my answer is more no than yes. If they get Alonso and they don't get Cease, I say, all right, they're going to be in the mix. If they get Alonso and they get Cease, I'm like, playoff team. And then once you get to the playoffs, you see what happens. Because then, if you're on that trajectory of a playoff team, now you could always make a nice little move mid-season. All right, we need this here, we need that. This guy's a little bit banged up. Alvarez is hitting .212. He's not what we thought. Maybe we get a catcher. I'm just throwing out crazy stuff, whatever. We trade McNeil. We bring in that guy. I don't know. We bring in Arraez. You never know. At least then you have the opportunity to do stuff from a position of power because you're not desperate. And the worst time to make a trade is when you're desperate because everybody knows. You don't think about the Giants trying to trade up and get a quarterback in the draft. Everybody knows that Shane and Dable borrowed time. We'll hold them over the coals. And if they don't want to do it, guess what? The Raiders will trade with us. That's fine. That's a position of power if you're the Browns, if you're the Titans, if you're one of those teams, Or if the Jets were going to trade. Let's say Rodgers retires and the Jets sitting at 7 and word leaks, Mugi, whatever his name is, Glenn, they want to move up and get one of these quarterbacks at 2 or 3. Listen, look at those desperate Jets. Rodgers is gone. We can play Tyrod Taylor. That's power. Not for the Jets, the other teams. So it changes a lot if they bring back Alonso. It changes, I think, everything if it's Alonso and Cease/King. I'm getting excited for the Knicks and the Lakers tomorrow night. A little primetime Saturday night. That might be a fire pit game. Yeah, it might be a little backyard action, a little fire pit. Little Knicks, Lakers. Hopefully we squash LeBron. Knicks are playing real well, beating some good teams lately. I still want to make that trade. I don't trust Mitchell Robinson's health. But before we get back to these calls, I don't know, and I always struggle with this. I'm like, is it me because I'm older? And it means less to me, although I still love sports, as you guys know. I don't know. Walk me through this here. So I look at the leading scores, and I just thought about this because they're playing LeBron tomorrow, right? And I think one of the big problems with the NBA is that they're still relying on some of these aging players. They're all-timers. I'm not getting into a GOAT debate. It's Michael Jordan over anybody. I don't want to hear it. Maybe Will, maybe Kareem, but it's not MJ. It's not LeBron. It's MJ. That's not LeBron. Others, you want to throw them in front of LeBron, I could do that, but it's not LeBron James. And Curry's an all-time shooter and an all-time point guard, and Durant's an all-time scorer. And there's other players that obviously have emerged, like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is phenomenal. Anthony Edwards is phenomenal. Tyrese Maxey is a beast. Obviously, Jokic is not young, but he's an all-timer, even though he just doesn't resonate for... I think nationally here. Anyway, the point is, and Wembanyama, of course, young kid. When I was growing up, and again, is this because I was young and impressionable or the league was different and it hit different? So you look at the leading scorers back then, like MJ, Dominique Wilkins. These guys were also in the dunk contest too. Dominique, Bernard King, Larry Bird was a big-time scorer, Alex English, Adrian Dantley, Kiki Vandeweghe. Those are just, Charles Barkley. I'm just throwing names out. These were names that everybody knew. And I'm not saying that, of course, the informed basketball fan knows all about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and how great the Thunder are best team in the NBA. Like the Thunder and what Jokic has done and the year that LaMelo Ball's having. And Maxey and Tatum and of course our own Brunson. But does it hit the same? I don't know. Shea might average 33, 34 points a game this year, right around what MJ and Dominique used to do. Are kids wearing or are they pretending they're Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in the street like we used to? Like, we used to go up for a layup at the park or in my backyard, and, like, as we would double pump, we'd say, Jordan, you know, as we would flip it up and, you know, not even come close to what he was doing, but trying. Or, like, we would lower the rim, and we would have dunk contest, and, like, one of us would be MJ, one of us would be Dominique. I don't know. It's just odd. The NBA is in a weird space for a lot of reasons. I don't think the commissioner is very good. I think he's a very nice guy. I think Adam Silver is woefully inferior to David Stern. It's not even close as a commissioner. Not even close. Now he wants to shorten games, and it's just weird. Again, is that me because I'm older or because the game's different? Maybe both. Maybe it's equal parts both. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that by. I just noticed that. But I am looking forward to the game Saturday night. All right, let's get back to you guys talking a lot of Pete based on Boomer's tweet. Pete is in Farmingdale. What's happening, Petey?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing? First, I want to echo your get well soon to Sal. We miss you.
There you go.
But you'll be. Mine had two cataracts in his 40s removed from the same eye, so.
Oh, same eye. Oh, okay. See, and by the way, Pete, he's going to have to do it again. He's very smart. Sal's no dummy. He's playing this well. He's established a precedent here. So by milking the third day, yeah, he probably could have sucked it up and come in today. But by milking the third day, when he has the other eye sliced open in a month or so, well, now he's going to get the third day for that as well because he has established a template of time off. No dummy.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
We'll get that. The point I wanted to make is I'm buying everything you're selling on the Mets. Very good. The only thing that I think nobody's taken into account is since Pete came into the league, yeah, he set the rookie record for home runs. But since then, he's had nobody to, you know, he's there to protect Soto, but nobody's ever been there to protect him. And I think that's the reason why his average has suffered, and he'll do much better this year with everything. What do you think?
I think it's possible. You know, I don't know. Thanks for the call there, Pete. I don't know how much the pressing of the contract, the imminent nature of the contract stuff weighed on him, you know, this past year. He was scuffling. And listen, the Mets don't have a great lineup. It's certainly different with Soto now. But last year, who was really protecting Pete? Pete wasn't even great protection for what was in front of him. And there is a trickle down, for sure. So, you know, take a goalie in hockey. You have nothing in front of the net in terms of defense, you're going to get crushed. Take a good hitter in baseball, you know. You have nothing around you or not as much around you as other good players or good teams. The numbers are going to be skewed a bit. And I think there's a lot there with Pete. So, you know, I love to see him, you know, sign this deal and come back and, you know, have a couple of years of freedom, have a couple of years with Soto, and just see what he can do. Let me get Ryan and Stony Point, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's going on, Ryan?
How's it going, buddy?
Hey. How are you, bud?
Good. So, I'm a Yankee fan. I live in a Mets house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing the Mets got to give Cohen some credit, man. I mean, he's having a good offseason. I don't think he's getting enough credit. It's all... Oh, yes, he's got to do this. He's not doing this. I feel like he's doing pretty well. Just let him cook.
I mean, I use that term a lot. Let him cook, let him do his job. But it's incomplete so far. I mean, you're assuming that Pete's going to get
100%.
Done.
100%. He's okay. Still got more to do. But yeah. I feel like he's done well as of now. Yeah, he's done well. I feel like he's not getting the credit for now.
Let me see. Let me evaluate that. Cohen and Stern. I mean, do you love the Siri move?
I'm not a Met guy, but I feel like he strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
But he's a solid center. He's going to be playing center.
Yeah, well, he's a stud center fielder, stud.
That's what I mean. He's a stud fielder.
And he runs and he's got pop.
Exactly. I feel like, yeah, he strikes out a lot, but you'll take that. He's got pop and you could give up, you know, maybe a few more strikeouts for that sixth center fielder.
No, I don't disagree with that. I was just throwing Siri by you. I think he's going to be better than Bader. I think he's going to do more dynamic things than Bader. I think if the Mets deliver Pete and they acquire either Cease or King, I think it's an A-plus offseason. And then if they're going to find a way to have Iglesias come back and play three times a week, All right, now you're cooking. Now it's just a grand slam out of the park. If it's Pete back and no more pitching, I think it's an A minus or a B plus, probably more an A minus because Soto's so good. If there's no Pete and there's no arm, then it's a B. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki. Back to the calls next. All right, by the way, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Hey, the Slam Dunk in Vegas is live, and you can win your way to Sin City during the tournament. Winning is easy. All you have to do is download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to the Fan each day. Good song. For a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry and your chance to win travel and accommodations for four out to Las Vegas, plus $5,000 for each one of you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. That's a chance to win 20 grand at all and a fully paid trip to Vegas. Wow. Download the free Odyssey app and listen. Boyle, crank this up, buddy. What are we doing? Come on, we're talking Vegas. Yo. All right, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. It feels like a little bit of a celebratory day. Not yet. Not done yet. Pete is not signed yet. Let me check. I am a little surprised. I checked earlier. Now, Hoff, you're pretty social media savvy. Sometimes. Sometimes you just tweet wacky stuff. But
I try to go for more 90% wacky. But
you understand how it works. So without looking, if I said to you, all right, Boomer Esiason, which is the gist of the content today. So our buddy Boom, I love Boomer. Boomer tweeted this last night at 8:48 p.m. I'm feeling like Pete is a Met tomorrow with the clasped hands praying up to the baseball gods and God, I'm sure. So that was a long time ago. It was last night, a long time ago in the world of social media to gain traction. How many likes do you think it has garnered on Boomer's account? Before you answer that, let me just inform you that he's got 237,000 followers.
How many views did this get?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I want you. That's too easy. Then I want you to answer.
Well, but I can't get an educated guess. Then.
Well, maybe I don't want you to have an educated guess. I'm going to give you the criteria here.
Okay.
How many likes do you think it's gotten?
And it's been up for since
last night at 8:45 p.m. 8:48.
Probably 400, 500,000 likes.
Okay. How about 1,900? Is that a paltry amount or what?
1,900? That's
it? Yeah. And then the comments are 190. And I get more on that than when I say Johnny's in Providence at noon tomorrow at the Garden. I'm not calling out Boomer. I don't mean like, you know, oh, Boomer's not a good tweeter. I'm stunned because he doesn't really tweet that often, except when he's whining about the Rangers not getting a call, which is all the time. But doesn't that seem like a very low number?
It does, because I think
for a man of Boomer's profile and a tweet of that magnitude?
I retweeted it, and I want to say that I got close to 500 likes.
Well, you want to say, but you didn't.
Well, okay. I believe yeah. I got close to 500 likes.
Can we confirm that? Hold on. I'm going to check. Pete Hoffman. Let's see if Pete. All right. Hoff did retweet that. Hey. 477.
Yeah, that was a guess. I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, okay,
but yeah.
Sure.
What a guess. I didn't know. Now I do know.
Yeah, he's basically 30 off. No,
by the way, at Hoff WFAN on social media.
And anyway. Just asking you, you've got something pinned to the top of your page now for 2 years, basically. Does that expire at some point, or you just keep that up there forever?
Nah, I just like it.
It's beautiful. Why don't you tell everybody what it is? But it's been up there for a while.
Yeah, well, in my Eastchester, we created a new field for the little kids. And my son got to throw out the first pitch. It was awesome.
It was awesome. It's the grand opening ceremony at Waverly Field. There was a strike, maybe a borderline strike on the corner, but
hey, they give it in Eastchester. You know what I mean?
He was young. He was four or five years old, right?
Like that,
he was the little guy. That's awesome. All right. So, and now you got 500 likes. There you go. But I am just surprised.
But that's what I'm saying. That when you ask me how many likes,
I know,
500, yeah. You'd think that would get like hundreds of, not hundreds of thousands, but at least like 100,000 likes.
Well, the crazy thing is that, you know, trust me, I don't get wrapped up in the world of likes. I mean, I actually think it's kind of pathetic for those who do. But I mean, you know, it's a little interesting and sometimes it paints a story. But Boomer has a little less than 2,000 likes, but it has 395,000 views. So people ain't liking it, even though they're seeing it.
People, a lot of people retweeting it. That's what it comes down to. The fact that he's got a lot of retweets, like I think he does. Adding to his viewership. I'm helping Boomer
out. How are you making this about you?
No, I'm just saying. Well, because, again, you ask how many likes. I'm almost up there, like, as far as ratios. I got, like, 37,000 imprints. I got 500 likes on that. So you're just doing the math. I'm doing the social media math.
The metrics.
I've been studying these analytics. Social media, stupid analytical nonsense on social media.
Have you really?
I've been trying, yes.
Why don't you start doing something for the BT and Sal accounts? You've been studying these numbers to get that thing going.
Let's be fair here. What gets more views? Your social media account or that?
Mine.
It's always going to be you.
Exactly. Always going to be mine.
So let's focus on yours going up.
Scale of 1 to 10, what would you grade me as a tweeter? 1 to 10.
Activity-wise?
All the activity, content, whatever.
I'm a rough grader, but I'll definitely give you like an A-, because I feel like you definitely engage. You definitely have fire tweets, which are awesome. Like you spit from the hip at times, and those are great. You're active on the weekends. I see you do like the car wash.
SBT?
Yeah.
Oh, the car wash.
You get your car wash. It's like, all right, hit me up with some tweets.
Yeah.
And then you go back and forth with you have that engagement, which is important.
I enjoy it.
But yeah, so I would say A- is pretty good, actually.
What's preventing me from an A or an A+? Because it's obviously not perfect.
I think you need a little bit more here and there. Like, you know when you say you don't like to live tweet during games?
Uh-huh.
I think that'll be a game changer for you.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what the metrics and the analytics are telling you?
That's what my studies say, yes.
All right, here you go. Let's get back to the calls here. We get Ray in Monmouth County. Ray, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal, how are you?
Hey, BT, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I got you, Ray. What's up? How are you?
Hey, how are you? I don't want to take up too much of your time. Big fan. I want to touch on what you've been really talking about with Pete Alonso and the emotion, not just the business. So very, very quickly, I'm a former professional baseball player. Unfortunately, came up a tad bit short of getting to the big leagues. I did spend time in the New York Mets organization, and I actually played for the Long Island Ducks for many, many years. So I played with Gary Carter, Buddy Harrison. So I just want to relate to that quickly, and I'm sure a lot of fans probably will find this interesting. So you talk a lot about, you know, father-son dynamic or just childhood memories of who you grew up rooting for. So I grew up a diehard Mets fan, and Daryl Strawberry was and still is my idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you very quickly. I remember in 1990, I came home from school. Bill Buteau was the anchor on WABC.
I remember Bill very well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember getting ready for dinner, and Bill Buteau said something along the lines of, "Good luck out west, young man." And that was the day I found out that Daryl had left the Mets to sign with the Dodgers.
Oof.
And I was 12, soon to be 13.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand the business of baseball, so I completely blamed the New York Mets. And I was angry at them forever. And I promised myself that I would never, ever wear a Mets hat, wear a Mets jersey ever again. And unfortunately, but fortunately for me, I had to break that promise when I signed with the Mets and I played for them in AAA in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I ever picked up a Mets hat again and actually wore a Mets fitted hat was this past summer when I took my wife and my 4-year-old daughter to her first Major League game. I took her to Daryl Strawberry's retirement day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, it felt good. It felt good again. I've always rooted for the Mets deep down, but I was just angry and I kept my promise to myself. I wore a Mets hat that day. Last year was special for me. My daughter has fallen in love with baseball and loved the Mets. And even on Daryl's day, Pete Alonso hit a home run. So I know there's more to it than just emotion, but I definitely hear you when people might be disappointed that, you know, decisions might be made just on either stats or numbers. I do believe that he's getting kind of thrown in the mud a little bit and devalued way too much. I sure hope he comes back because there is more to it as a fan than just dollars and cents and stats and metrics. So I just wanted to call and share that experience from a former pro baseball player. I'm still very much in the game. I coach a lot. So, you know, there's more to it than the stats. So that's all. I just wanted to call.
Great call.
Big fan of you and Sal, man.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And by the way, when did you play for the Ducks? How long ago?
So crazy. So I was with the Mets in 06. I played 14 years total, 8 years in affiliated ball, got the AAA big league camp. I was with the Mets from summer of 06, played for Buddy, like I said, Gary Carter. I was there 06 to 2013. It became my final home. My family still lives out east on Long Island. It was my home for 8 years, actually. They actually retired my number back in 2015. So I played for a long time. I played with a lot of guys that, you know, a lot of great friends. Right. actually played for the Mets, played in the big leagues, you know, so sure. I'm still very much in the game. I coach a lot outside the office now. I'm coaching travel baseball. I'm on social media a lot too. So, and I listen to you every day on my way to the cages.
That's awesome. Do you ever play against, I'm just going to throw a name at you. You know the name Louis Lopez from Brooklyn, Canarsie? You know that name?
Of course, actually. Well, I actually talk to him all the time on social media because he still coaches a great deal. Actually, I follow you on social media. I don't know if you know me. They call me on social media Coach Ray all day.
Yes.
So I still coach
yes.
a lot of guys, and a lot of the guys like Louis Lopez, like you just mentioned, or some of the other guys. A lot of the guys that retire that play, they're still very much in the game, whether it's coaching in pro ball or travel baseball, college baseball. So yeah. I'm so much in the space that I talk to a lot of those guys still.
Yeah, you know, shoot me a DM. Actually, you know what? Hey, Huff. I know Huff's on the phone. Hey, Pat, tell Huff. put him on hold, and I want to get your number. I want to stay in touch with you here. Okay? Let's take care of that. So, but yeah, but Pat, you got to do it here. You got to put him on hold here. We got something going on back there.
He's on hold.
Oh, he's on hold. Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Very good call. Very good call. All right, 888-808-1019 is our number. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan. How about Ray? Ray, that really was a good call. Ray in Monmouth County. No, I'm sorry. Put him on hold. Put that back on hold here. Okay, let me get Eric in Rivervale. We know Eric. What's going on, Eric?
BT, how we doing, brother?
We're doing well. Everything's good.
I know you are. It's doing fantastic, man. Show is awesome, as always, even without Sal, but sending him the best. Looking forward to having him back next week.
Yeah, me too. I miss him.
This Mets talk, man, it cracks me up. And these fans calling in and getting on you as a Yankees fan is funny. But I think, you know, the Mets, I couldn't agree with you more that they couldn't have played this better. You know, they've really done a great job. Pete Alonso has nowhere else to go. Is it inevitable? I think so. What the numbers look like. At this point, doesn't really matter. Who cares? It's going to be a short-term deal.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really matter, right? I mean, the numbers at this point don't matter. He's not getting what he wants.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's a three-year deal. It'll be, you know, 50, 60 million, whatever it is. And I think, you know, for the Mets, the Dylan Cease thing, to me, is more exciting than Pete Alonso. I mean, if I was a Mets fan, but I'm not. And, you know, which brings me to thinking about, you know, the Yankees and where we are with the Yankees. I love your position as far as, yeah, they're probably the best team in the American League right now. They're certainly the best in their division, playoff team. But there's no question there is a gaping hole at third base. And what they're going to do with the lineup and all of those questions right now. So for me, and my question to you is, you know, what as a Yankees fan, what do you want? Like, do you want to see, you know, Jazz back at second base?
Yes.
And then we're platooning yes. at third base?
Yes. Well, I want Jazz at second base. I want Dominguez. I don't care if he's hitting 112 after 35 games. I'm running him out there every single day. I want to see Volpe take a step forward. I want to see Austin Wells take a step forward. And, you know, I don't need 7 All-Stars at every position. I need a team that catches the ball better, a team that runs the bags better, a team that strikes out less. And I believe, and listen, obviously, Soto's an amazing contact hitter and all that stuff, but and it's not just about him. They had to get better in other spots. They were so deficient and slow and sloppy in too many areas that you just can't be sloppy in. You need a guy at first base who could pick it. Your second baseman has to be buttoned up. And, you know, they're moving back in that direction. So eventually, you know, I want them to be able to address whatever need they think that they have to address at the deadline and go from there. Listen, I'm not, this isn't like arrogance or like, I don't play that game. Like, it's not, I'm not even a player. It's not like, it's not my team. So, I mean, I root for them, but I don't own the team. And I'm just going to, you know, if anything, I'm probably going to be harder on them than I'm not, because I could be emotional because I don't own the Yankees and I'm not a Yankee. But I promise you, it's never like, oh, I'm not one of these Yankee fans who just thinks they're going to win the World Series every year. If you listen to me, you know that. And right now, I just think the Yankees, partly because the American League is weaker than the NL, and mostly derived from my confidence in the Yankees staff, not just the starting staff, their entire pitching staff, and Judge, and a few other components we've hit over and over, I think the Yankees will be a playoff team. And at that point, I'm not going to be so brazen to sit here in late January, early February, and say, yeah, Yanks are going to win number 28. Who the hell knows? I don't know. Neither do you. I have reshaped how I look at the baseball season going into baseball seasons now. If the roster's not complete, now I get on you. And when I say complete, I mean complete enough to be a playoff team. Right now, without Pete, without Cease or King, I'm a little worried about the Mets, right, for just getting there. from a Yankee perspective, right now, even with third base, I don't love it, but even the way it is, they're a playoff team. It's my honest opinion. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. One more hour to go.